Welcome to Lasting Truth, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Sweet Hills, in Banning, California, where Pastor Ryan Hussein teaches the entire Word of God, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, giving our listeners the opportunity of receiving the full counsel of God. In today's program, we are studying the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. Here's Pastor Ryan.
Turn with me in your Bibles this morning, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And so, Father, again, we come before you, and we do sing hallelujah. We thank you so much for all that you've done and all that you're doing, Lord. You are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Lord, we're so grateful that you've sent your Son Jesus into the world to save us, that by his death and resurrection on the cross, we have eternal life. And he's at your right hand even now, interceding for us, praying for us. Lord, we need the prayers this morning. We need them every morning. We ask that we would be able to see clearly from your word, that you would instruct our hearts, each and every one of us that are here today. Remove any distractions from our minds, Lord, and help us to receive your living word. Pour out your grace. In Jesus' name we pray, and together we say, amen. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. The Apostle Paul is combating the false teachers that have crept into the church at Corinth. The church of Corinth is the church that he planted 4 years prior. And it's a church that he loves. The work of the Lord was incredible there. The gospel went out and the church was birthed. And he loves them very much. And he's combating them because they're trying to discredit him. If they can get rid of the Apostle Paul, they can have their way with the church. And they wanted to use the church for their own personal benefit. And so as he's writing to the church, he's instructing them, but he's also combating this. He's also showing them a contrast, a difference between the false teachers and he, a true apostle of Jesus Christ, and how they are vastly different. He said that we do not handle the word of God deceitfully, nor do we preach ourselves. And that is, of course, what they were doing. They were using the word of God for their personal benefits and or to enrich themselves or to puff themselves up. And they were preaching their own name. The Apostle Paul was not preaching Paul. He was preaching Jesus Christ because that's the only name given under heaven by which we can be saved. And many were getting saved. And then he goes on to talk about all of the afflictions, all of the trials that him and those who served with him faced. He said that we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. And so the Apostle Paul lists these things that he suffered as a minister of the gospel. And it's a beautiful thing because he speaks of God being his comfort, that God being there for him. And though these hard things were happening, it was always God with every persecution, with every perplexing situation, God kept getting him through. And that really is the sign of a real minister of God and really a real Christian. If we're standing up for Jesus's truth, we're going to face backlash. There's going to be persecutions and afflictions. Satan doesn't come after lukewarm Christians, Christians that are on the sideline, that aren't speaking up. He goes after the ones that are putting in work for Jesus Christ. And so we want to be more like Paul. We want to be more like Jesus. We do not want to be like these false teachers who really aren't facing any hardships because they are of the world. They are like the world and the world loves them and so does Satan. Amen? And he said basically that he was always on the verge of death for the Lord. Think about that. He says, so then death is working in us, but life in you. Paul saw his life so wonderfully dangerous for God that he basically believed that I'm on the verge of being killed at any time for God. That's what he saw out there in that Roman world that he's preaching to. It's that dangerous. But still, he keeps going because of God, right? And that's really what he is saying here. And so in verse 13, we begin. He says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. And so he begins there saying, and since we have the same spirit of faith, they believe. That's the commonality. He believes, the Corinthian church believes, you believe, I believe that Jesus is the Lord, right? And because of our faith, he quotes Psalm 116 here to them. He says, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written. And when he writes those words to them, they naturally are going to say, what is he talking about? What was written? And what he's quoting is Psalm 16, verse 10, which says, I believed, therefore I spoke. But there's a part of that verse that he leaves out, the end of it. It says, I believed, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. That's what he's quoting to them. He's quoting to them, we have this common faith, as it is written, we believe, therefore we have spoken. However, he leaves out the part that says, I am greatly afflicted. That would have taken the church to look at what was written, what is he talking about? And that basically is a psalm where the psalmist was in great affliction and brought low and persecuted because of his love for God. But in that psalm, he is lifted up every time by the Lord. So the writer is afflicted and the writer is lifted up. And if you want to know how the Lord ministered to Paul, you can just read Psalm 116, because I believe that he studied the scriptures and would receive so much comfort and word from the Lord that I am with you. Other verses in Psalm 116 are verse 3, the pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol lay hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Doesn't that sound like the ministry of Paul and how he suffered here and he suffered there, that he was, hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. He was perplexed, but not in despair. It's exactly the same thing that the writer is saying here in Psalm 116, verse 15. It says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And so no doubt Paul was just meditating on that psalm and really seeing his own life in the same as the psalmist who wrote that psalm. He was afflicted, but he didn't stop speaking. He didn't stop preaching. He kept preaching no matter what he faced, no matter what trouble. And that's really the heart of our Father for all of us. Why should we speak of the Lord? Why should we speak of how much we love him? Why should we speak of how right and righteous are his commandments, and how he makes us, he gives us new life. He gives us eternal life, and he teaches us how to live right. Why should we tell the world that? We tell them because we believe. We tell them because even experientially, we have watched God come through for us in every trial and tribulation that we've gone through. He has never let us down. He promises never to leave us nor to forsake us, and he never has. We have faced sorrow. You have faced sorrow. You have faced incredible pains and sufferings. But the Lord is always there with us. He is always there. And this is why Paul would say, we believed and therefore we speak. I believe today in Jesus Christ. I believe he is the Son of God. And I believe that he's the only means of salvation. And I believe that this country and this world needs to hear the message of the gospel. We keep on preaching even though there is affliction. He says here, since we have the same spirit of faith. Faith, guys, is everything to the believer. Faith is our strength. And I believe that faith is the first virtue that Satan will attack in a believer's life. If there is anything that Satan is going to attack in us, it is our faith. It is our trust in God. We have faith to believe in Jesus Christ to save us. We must have faith in Jesus Christ that he would sanctify us, that we would live a holy life and follow his word. We need faith in Jesus Christ to believe that no matter what Satan throws at us, we can overcome it through faith. And that is why it is attacked so much. We share the same faith. I think of the Lord before he went to the cross. He prayed for himself and he prayed for the disciples and he also prayed for those who would believe in him. That's you, the future believers who would have faith in him. That is us. We have a common faith, and thus we should be speaking. If we believe that God's so good, then why do so many Christians not tell anybody weekly about Jesus Christ? We should be telling everybody who would hear, our coworkers, our friends, our family, in a sweet, loving way to point them to Jesus, because this world is perishing and he is the only hope. But Satan attacks our faith so that we are quiet. And he attacks with the ifs. If God loves you, why are you afflicted? We think of when the Lord was tempted by the devil. Satan said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down right from this pinnacle. All these things he said to Jesus up on that high mountain when he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. He said, all these things I give to you if you will fall down and worship me. And we know what Jesus said. He used the word, the truth of who God is, the truth of who we are. But Satan will attack our faith in God's promises to you and to me. In Christ, we have all that we need. Don't let Satan attack your faith. We must pray daily that our faith would get stronger and stronger and stronger every single day, that it would be protected, and that God, the Holy Spirit, would just instill in us greater faith. We need it for these times. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 9, it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that God bestows faith and more faith upon us. All we need to do is ask, as Jesus said in Luke 11, for whoever asks shall receive. If you then, being evil, Jesus said, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The more we ask, the more we wait in prayer, the more power of the Holy Spirit that we have. The more we ask for faith, the more faith we will have. We must believe that we're going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We must believe it with all our heart that God is for us. And in that case, if we truly believe, then no matter what tribulation or affliction we face, we will be able to go through with flying colors, trusting in the Lord. We have the same spirit of faith. According to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. What is it that Paul believed in so much about Jesus? He believed that as the Father raised up the Lord Jesus from the grave on that third day, he believed with all his heart that God the Father was going to raise him up and the Corinthian believers up and present them all together in heaven one day. He believed in eternal life. He believed that we would receive as believers a new incorruptible body, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Jesus Christ said, I go away. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and receive you to myself. We all have new bodies waiting for us, for those of us who love Jesus Christ. And when I say, I heard Jack Hibbs say recently, there'll be many people who believe in Jesus in hell. And that's a true statement. It ain't about believing in Jesus. It's about loving Jesus, putting your trust in Jesus, living for Jesus. That's what heaven's about. Heaven isn't about talk. Heaven is about people who have surrendered their will, the devil's will, to God's will. Pray for Jack Hibbs. I heard they called him a terrorist recently. He was invited to do a prayer before Congress, and I must admit, I haven't read it. I just heard a portion of it, but it's excellent. I heard everyone's blowing my phone up. You gotta read this. I'll read it today. But I know Jesus is proud of him. Pastor Chuck Smith would be so proud of him. You know, he's one of our guys, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, telling them, praying that God would forgive our country for its sins. How about that? That's so soldier. It's beautiful. I digress. He believed in the resurrection. He says, for all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. All things are for your sakes. All of this getting beat up for the Lord, all of this getting, they whipped him. They rotted him. They stoned him to death. Dragged him out of cities. He went through so much persecution and hatred. He was on the verge of death. He felt, this could be my day where they kill me and take me out. But he says, all of this is for your sakes. And who does that remind us of but not our Lord and King? Jesus being nailed to the cross, being scourged, and they put the crown of thorns on him, spit on him, yanked out his beard. That was for us. He was the spotless, innocent Lamb of God with no sins. He was beat so torturously for us, for our benefit. And so here's his apostle being a really good apostle. All of this is for your sakes. That should be our heart. that we would serve one another, look upon one another with that kind of heart. My suffering in Christ Jesus, your suffering in Christ Jesus, is for one another to be benefited. So many people are in pain and they're suffering and they're isolated. They're helping nobody, including themselves. But if we come together and we stand for righteousness and we stand for the precepts of the Lord and face persecutions and trials and troubles and all of this spiritual warfare that gangs up on us because we're not on the sidelines, we have skin in the game, then we have together, we have each other, we come together, and it's for our benefit. We need to be sacrificial like Paul and Jesus. I want to serve God, yes, but I want to serve his people. Why? Because I love God. Why do I want to serve his people? Because he commands us to, for their benefit. We need the heart that says, I'll go through anything. I'll go through pain and suffering for the benefit of God's people. There are Christians today that are still about their liberties and, you know, their rights to do this and their rights to do that. When we get to a place of real maturity, we don't care about our rights anymore. We care about how we're going to benefit the church. I have a right to do a lot of things. We have the liberty to do a lot of things, but I'm not going to make my brethren stumble because I'm living for the Lord. I'm living for their benefit in the spirit, right? Not in the flesh. I can't do that in my own strength. But because God has touched my heart, because we see the example of saints sacrificing for others, that should be our heart. And we have to ask, why is that not our heart that we would do that for others? And so he says here, for all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. And again, before I move on this topic, the same topic of sacrificing, you know, it reminded me of Moses when I was reading this, because in Hebrews 11, it says of Moses that by faith, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Moses himself had the same sacrificial, it's about God and it's about God's people. I'd rather not still enjoy the pleasures of Egypt. Been there, done that. I'm looking for the reward. Does that make sense? Now, think about the liberties we have. Maybe not. Maybe we should pull back. Maybe it's time. Jesus can come at any moment. I think it's time to do a lot of things and not do other things anymore. And he says that it's for them, and he says that that grace having spread amongst them all has created thanksgiving to be given to God. Because Paul stood for God, took the beatings, God comforted him. He's the most blessed man in our story. He's amazingly blessed. He has seen the result of his pain in the fact that sinners all around Corinth were saying, we want Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We're done. They were coming to faith. That grace spread out. When we stand for God, when we are we present ourselves as living sacrifices before God for all that he has done for us, that's when people see, sinners see.
Thank you for joining us today at Lasting Truth Radio. If you're in the area, come out and join us for Sunday services at 8:30 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. or Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. We are located at 3035 West Nicollet Street in Banning, California. You can also find us on YouTube or Instagram. If you would like to donate to our program, please do so on our website at ccsweethills.org and hit the online giving tab. We hope you will continue to tune in as we journey through the entire Word of God with the teaching of Pastor Ryan Hussein at Calvary Chapel, Sweet Hills. We adore.